How many people, you don't have to tell me what it is, but how many people right now, this week to come, have or will face a problem? How many of you are thinking, well, I didn't face any last week. It would be good if I don't face any problems this week. How many of you are listening? Some of you. If you're sitting here this morning, let's just take a real good, honest look at our lives and go, we're living in a world of problems. We are facing issues. There's obstacles in our way. It's a matter of if we're living, if you're breathing, you're living in problems. Now, I don't want to put a frown on your face because problems are just minor. Should not keep us from our end result or our end goal. Problems are stepping stones to get, and we're looking at problems. I mean, how many would like to get completely out of all problems? Why? Because we don't like them. They hurt. Well, let me give you some advice. There's only one way that you're getting out of your problems. There's only one way you're going to get out of problems, and that's to leave here and go to heaven. I wonder what prayer would be like if we made our way in and go, Lord, would you take me today? Well, shouldn't that be our prayer? I'd be okay with that. Problems. Everybody has them. And here's what I find out about problems. Here's what I find out about people who are living in this world today. It seems like if we have come through a good week, if there has been something spectacular that has happened through our week, we might say something. And it may be that we might say something because this spectacular event took place on this day. But I also find this out. If we have made our way through a good week and really there has been no problems, that's a good week. Wouldn't you count that as a good week? If there's no problems? But how many times do we say, praise the Lord, I didn't have any problems this week? What I find is if we have had a good week, but if we've had some issues over the past week, if we have had problems or obstacles or events come in our way that are not good ones, that hurt, then we're really vocal about it. We're good at complaining. We're not so good at praising the Lord for, thank you, Lord, for a good week. Nothing happened this week. Thank you, Lord. As I sit in the office, very seldom does someone call and say, this was a great week for me. Let me tell you about it. Because most of the time, the phone calls I get are, you're not going to believe this one. Or this has taken place. Or this has happened. You see, we're very vocal about the bad things. We need to be vocal about the good things. Take your bulletins. Take it. Put it in your hand. Look at it on the back page. What side has the most writing on it? It's the prayer request. Why? Because we look at those as problems. And these are issues, Lord, that you need to take care of. How much is on the other side? And I know this. I know we all have something to praise the Lord. So it seems like we're very vocal on the bad things or the issues or the problems in our lives. Everyone who's living in this world is experiencing problems. No matter how old you are, you're experiencing some problems. Isn't it fair to say that unbelievers should be going through the problems in life? Right? Unbelievers should be going through problems. But I've accepted Jesus Christ. That means I shouldn't have any problems. I think maybe lots of times we have the attitude that I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be going through these things. Unbelievers should because they're unbelievers, but since I gave my life to Jesus, I shouldn't be experiencing any problems. I know I'm out there sometimes, but have we ever thought that? It could be because you are a Christian, that because you love Jesus, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you," and he's speaking to his disciples, "so that in me you may have peace." Well, it sounds like Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them, hey, this life that you're going to live now, it may be a difficult one. Because the only way you're going to find peace after following me is to believe in me. In the world, you have tribulation. So you're going to experience lots of problems. But take courage. That verse should just get... Notice he says, you're going to have problems. You're going to experience, I haven't defeated. So walk with me. You are not going. And you're going to have more tribulation than the... What are you going to do with the problems of living in this world? You can't get them away from you. They're going to be here. So as a Christian, how do I now respond to the problems as they come? And I want you to know this. Problems test our... Have you ever heard the phrase, there's proof in the pudding? Now, correct grammar would be ding, but I think our mind goes to there's proof in the pudding. At least that's the way we all was. Pudding. There's proof in the pudding. What's that mean? Do you know what it means? Because that's not actually the phrase. I looked the actual phrase up. And it's the proof of eating the pudding. The actual taste. That's what that phrase means. So there's proof in the pudding. What does that mean? As it applies to our lives, what does that mean? Yeah, you have to experience it. It's if it's this way, if there's pudding, the only way that I can know it's pudding is to eat it. I mean, I have to have evidence that this is pudding. So it comes to this. If I have problems, if I live this way, if I'm going to be for Jesus this way, there's proof in the pudding. If I'm claiming to be a Christian, how am I going to act when those times of problems come? Because I can tell you what's going to happen. If you claim to be Jesus Christ and there's a little bit of a ripple in your life and you wig out, and they're saying this, if that's what it is, I see no difference between what they're doing and what I'm doing. There's proof in the pudding. If I say I love Jesus, proof that I love Jesus. It's easy to say I love Jesus, but the proof is in the pudding. What comes up in my life? Does it demonstrate? Is there evidence that I love Jesus? So if I'm proclaiming I love Jesus, I better expect some testing, some proof. And how's that going to happen? I mean, if I accepted Jesus and there was no ripples in the water at all after I had accepted Jesus, what does that tell me about my faith? I don't need Jesus. Things are going just fine. If we accept Jesus and we say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, problems now become a benefit of how I love Jesus. So if you love Jesus, problems are coming. And you know this by now. If I tell you to turn to Genesis chapter 12, we are talking about one individual, and his name is Abraham. Here it's Abram, same guy. But please, we got to start knowing Scripture well enough to know when we're in Genesis chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, we're talking about Abraham. When somebody's talking and we're sharing Jesus with someone, and we don't happen to have a Bible with us, we can say, well, you know, in Genesis chapter 12, Abram had this same... that backs up what you're saying. They're going, oh, well, this is God's word said instead of your opinion. Genesis chapter 12, let's pick up with verse 7. Well, let's go up a little further. Let's go to verse 1. chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country. Now let's drop down to verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward Negev. There was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now start to think about this. Problems are in our lives to test us, to see how we're going to perform under these circumstances. There's proof in the pudding. If I say I love Jesus and a problem comes up, how am I going to handle the problem? Now think about Abram. Abram had a few little problems. God calls Abram from Ur of the Chaldees over here. And he says, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Now think about this. What's his first minor little problem? First of all, I have no idea where he's sending. That might be a problem. That problem was overcome. You see, now for Abram, it doesn't matter where God's sending him. So Abram loads up with him, his wife, and his nephew. Now remember, Abram was wealthy. He didn't pull up a U-Haul. At best, a few pack lot are now headed off toward. So they start to travel. And matter of fact, from where they started to where they ended up, in the land that I will show you, was about 1,000 miles. Yeah, but how fast? Is there a limit? Oh. What's that plane you usually? Here, Abram, I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. By the way, you don't know where it is. Okay, the first problem. I don't know where it is. But pack up and go. So he went. So that problem's done. Now he's got 1,000 miles and he doesn't know how far it's going to be. But I can tell you this, what happens when you load up your family in your van and you take a road trip? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Oh, stop. I got to go to the bathroom. Think about this. The road trip would have been problems. Okay? And you just didn't go straight across either. You just didn't go from Ur of the Chaldees over to Shechem because there's this huge thing in the middle. It's a problem. It's called a desert. So you can't go there. So they go clear up and around. It's like when you fly to Israel. You go over Greenland. I didn't know that. To get down here. They couldn't go straight across. They had to go north. And then they come. Abram experienced. But when Abram and his family got to where God was showing them, as soon as they get there, there seems to be another minor little issue. When they got there, there was no food. The land is in a famine. Now think about Abram. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? God, there's no food here. I'm sure that it was God's voice I heard. It wasn't I made this up. And he said he would send me here. And I was obedient, and now we're here and there's no food. It was only a minor little problem. Because Abraham packs up. Because what kind of? Because God would have sent me a problem and headed to Egypt. And there he got food. Well, that really doesn't tell me much about the faith of Abraham. This, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He not only not knew where he was going, but when he got there, there was no food. And then we go, oh, well, what kind of faith is that? He left where God sent him and went down to Egypt to get food. And I'm telling you, it's a great amount of faith. Why? Think about this. If you're told by God to go somewhere, so let's send you way out in the wilderness, California. God sends you to California, and you get out there, and the bottom falls out. You thought you were going to have a job. You thought you were going to have a place to live. You thought all this was going to be great living out here. And then you got out to California and realized, this is just, I'd turn around and come back. At home was a lot better than this place was. At home, at least I have family there. Abraham probably was thinking, I got family in Ur. We're rich. If Abraham lacked faith, he would have been answering yes to God for what he is asking of you. It may be something big, it may be something small, but if God asks you and you say yes, so problems are a matter of, problems lead or two, problems lead as you're facing. Now look at it, not because you got to get past this one. Philippians chapter 1. The problem now becomes an opportunity for ministry. This problem that has now stopped me temporarily now serves as a platform to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This problem has now become a privilege that I'm going through, because now I can share Jesus because of the problem that I am going through. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Look at what Paul is telling us. Paul has a problem. Now, if you've made your way through Scripture and you look at the ministry of Paul, you would have to say, it seems like wherever Paul went, there was problems. Paul is now in ministry. And what happens is, because of his ministry, he is now thrown into prison. Now you would think that would put a halt to his ministry. But Paul doesn't look at it that way. Paul looks at it this way. This problem that you call prison, this is now a greater opportunity to preach. And I'm thinking, what a way to look at a problem. Paul looked at this prison, this problem, as an opportunity. I wonder what would happen in our lives when something comes before us and we go, how am I going to be able to get through this one? It seems like the world's falling apart. I don't think there's much more I can take. I wonder what would happen if we would look at it this way. Here's an opportunity. I wonder what our demeanor would be like if we looked at our problems as opportunities. That's what Paul did. Put me in prison. I'm okay with this. Why? Because this is a great place to preach. I'll bet you these people here consider this whole situation to be hopeless. I'm going to preach hope. He didn't look at it as a problem. He looked at it, our problems, when we run smack dab, I'm going to have to deal with this. I don't like it. This is not going to feel good going through this thing. What do you think about Paul? It had to be fun to be in prison. No, it was a problem. No, it was a privilege. He got to share Jesus. When we go through a problem, we tend to try to get out of it to go through this. When we go through a problem, we as good Americans who live in a very affluent society, when we go through a problem, we have a big pity party for ourselves. Woe is me. Oh, this is terrible. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Well, maybe you're not going through it for you. Paul did exactly that. Can you imagine Paul sitting in prison and the guy in the next cell says, Oh, I've had a terrible, horrible day. And Paul says, you think you've had a bad day? Let me tell you about my day. I have been whipped so many times. I have been in a shipwreck. I have been bitten by snakes. On and on and on and on it goes. And then he says, oh, but by the way, I'm here for a purpose, and that's so that I can preach to you all people. You got a problem? While in prison, and think about all the other ones who would, and now it's a privilege, speak the word of Jesus Christ. Loss of job. Health issue. Could be a problem. Family conflicts. This is terrible. No, it's a problem. In the midst of that conflict, I know where you can find church conflicts. Not a problem. Money problems? That's not a problem. It's a privilege. Lord, you provide everything to me. Let me tell you about what I've gone through. And each person sitting here, you have at least one problem you're going through. Stop looking at it as a problem and start looking at it as it's an opportunity. Number three, problems may confirm my life for Jesus Christ. That's a tough one. The problems that I'm experiencing may confirm that I am a believer. You remember the proof is in the pudding? May now confirm. 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to verse 1 and pick up right there. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting because your faith is greatly enlarged. I wonder how it was enlarged. And the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. Problems may confirm our life for Jesus Christ. The problems that we experience, teaching tool from God. It may be that He is needing to correct us on course. It may be that God is turning us and directing us in a different course. It may be that there is actual sin in our lives, and God needs now to deal with this somehow, some way. So the problems now that we face in our lives, maybe that God is trying to turn us in a different direction. He may be dealing with us. It may be the problems that I'm going through in my life are confirming that I love Jesus and I'm willing to do this for Jesus. In our problems, we're going through them problems. Have you ever seen? This will all be over because Jesus. Problems. Look forward. When this is all over, I will have grown. This is just a minor delay for me. And when I win this one, if you have ever sinned in your life, if you are presently sinning in your life, first of all, give it to the Lord better. I think God's got His part. We have our part. And don't say outwardly, we all got one of what His intent is for. Sin's going to block our relationship. I can get rid of that problem. If I can defeat that problem, I'm going to have a better relationship with Jesus. Isn't that correct? If I can get rid of this one. But then I found out something about humans. If that one's gone, number two now comes to the top. So I've dealt with this one and I have victory over this one. But now this one's number one. And then that one's defeated. Number three comes up. But you see, every time that we defeat one of those problems, I've moved a little bit closer to Jesus. Because if we're getting sin out of our lives, I have to be getting closer to Jesus. And if I'm not, this is all worthless. My attempt is to get to Jesus. Problems may confirm one of the most uplifting, one of the most soul-searching, chapter 1. You see, the problems that I'm experiencing and dealing with, they confirm my life in Jesus. Here's the problem. What am I going to do about it? How am I going to handle it? Am I going to defeat this thing? So it could be that the problem I is confirming that I love Jesus. I got to win this one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in with the comfort depth, his deepness. Look at what he has written from God. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Really? God, are you knowing what you're saying there? But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. It could be that you are facing and dealing with a problem, not for you. It could be that you're dealing with a problem for someone else. It could be that your faith, your relationship with Jesus Christ is being confirmed because God is saying, I need to reach this person over here. So this problem is for you to deal with them. As you defeat this problem, you'll rest in comfort. And you'll now be able to deal with this person over here who's going through the same thing. So God is actually using us and our problems to deal with somebody else. Have you ever thought about that? It could be that everything that we're facing in our lives, every problem that's coming up, is because God is trying to reach someone else. And he's saying, I know you can handle this. You can defeat this. And when you defeat this one, you'll now be able to supply comfort and peace to this person over here. Have you ever thought about that? Is that God could be using you to supply comfort. It may be uncomfortable for us, but praise God, he's got enough faith in us to know that's how he's going to reach. So the problems that we encounter may be that it's confirming the pudding. It's confirming that when we say, I love Jesus, I'm willing to go through this because of this person. And God has now given me a privilege. This problem is mine. He talks with me. Going through a problem. We're going to have problems. I think we got to just wake up to the fact that there's only one time that we will. The question for us should be problems. And at this obstacle here as let's look at our problems in a new way. Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we may not understand the whys and the hows, and Lord, we certainly don't understand why these things are coming. But Lord, I know this. No problem is too big.